Let's open our Bibles. Let's read together John 3:16. We're continuing in this message on, I call it divine economics. But I want to just share something this evening. We're talking about being prosperous in the things of God, being prosperous in this earth realm, in material things. But I've entitled this evening, Godliness is Profitable in All Things. But let's look at John 3:16. Let's read that first before we jump into this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, last lesson we were sharing about sowing and reaping. And let's look at this particular scripture verse again, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and let's look at verse 9, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. You know, I shared on Sunday, you know, we live in this earth realm, and it's been tainted with sin. And our bodies have been tainted with sin. And so in the natural, if we don't have God's help and his assistance, we're going to struggle. But with Christ, I can do all things through Christ. With his strength and his ability, I can overcome some of the obstacles, and all of the obstacles, that the world is bumping around in. And so with his help, with his assistance, with his power, I can do that. But at the same time, we're to grow in grace. We're to grow in faith. So if we don't grow in faith, you know, we can bump through life just like the world, because we're not looking to God, we're not trusting God, we're trying to do it in our own strength. Well, we know how that works. It doesn't work too well. So for us as Christians, we have God's Word, we have the greater one living on the inside, so we have an advantage, but we need to take advantage of that advantage. You know, we need to grow in faith, grow in grace, and look to him, so that we can overcome. And, you know, I'd say it this way, not woe unto you, but fool if you don't. Because, I mean, that's just the way it is. Can you imagine if you were inherited and you were a Rockefeller and you didn't take advantage of it? I'd say, you're a fool. What's wrong with you? Well, I'm just going to do it. I'm going to be my own man. Okay, go right ahead. But you don't take advantage of all those resources and all of that wisdom and that family inheritance? Why not? How much more? We're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. Man, I'm telling you, we need to, right? 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and look at verse 9. This is the King James. It says, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes," whose sakes? Our sakes, "he became poor." Now I want you to stop, because sometimes words jump off the page at me. But look at the next part of that verse. It says, "that ye, through his poverty, might be rich. When did he become poor? On the cross. So when it says, ye through his poverty, ye through what was accomplished at the cross, you become rich. So it's through that sacrifice, through that, we've obtained this, that we might be rich. And somebody say, well, you know, that just means rich spiritually. Look it up. Look up what that word rich means. I'm not saying that it doesn't, but I am saying when you look up the original translation of that, even in the other translations, in the Amplified, it says, by his poverty, you might become enriched, abundantly supplied. It means wealthy. That's what that means. Amen. Now, this evening, I wanted to take a few moments, and let's turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, and let's look at verse 7 and 8. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7 and 8. And you can read in context if you start even just looking in verse 1, it says, talks about, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisies, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. Now look at verse 7. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise, verse 8, for bodily exercise profiteth little, my margin says for a little while, but godliness is profitable. It's what?
Profitable.
What is profitable? Godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is. He's talking about the here and now. But look what it also says, and of that which is to come. So your godliness pays off not only in the here and now, but in the hereafter. So some folks, you know, you need to get a to think about it and just say, well, you know, you think your godliness is paying off just now? No, it's the hereafter. So, and then look at, you know, we're not going to read down, but we'll look at verse 15. It says, meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to who? To all. So God wants us. Now here's the thing. Your profiting appear to all. He's not talking about the here and after right there. He's talking about your profiting appear unto the here and now. Those that you interact with, they see you here. Right? Now, let me read this. Let me read this in the... Let me continue with my thought here. When it talks about bodily exercise profiteth little, it doesn't mean that bodily exercise doesn't profit you, but it's limited. So when this says here, Think about what this just said. It said, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto what? All things. All things, I would say, is spirit, soul, and body. Profitable unto all things. Whereas if bodily exercise profiteth little, it just affects your body. Doesn't say that it's not profitable, but it only affects your body. It doesn't affect your spirit. It doesn't affect your soul. Isn't that not correct? And we don't want to place natural things or something bodily above spiritual. Is that not right? So godliness is profitable. What does that mean? If something's profitable, if you invested something and it was profitable, what does that mean? It paid off. That means profitable if godliness pays off, doesn't it? Some folks may not think so. So it pays off in this life, the here and now, and also the life to come. It pays off. So what does godliness actually mean? I'll tell you what it means in its simplest form, living for God. Godliness just means I'm putting God first. We've been talking about that. Putting God first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And what? It pays off. It pays off, right? And he said all these things will be added unto you. I guess that's another way of saying here, it pays off. Godliness is what? What did it say? Is profitable unto all things. So godliness pays off. Seeking first the kingdom of God pays off. Does it not? So let's take a look here for a minute. We're in this particular chapter. Look at verse 12 in that chapter. So you could ask the question, what does it mean to live for God? You know, we all have our perspectives of things, but look at verse 12. We're right here in the context of this. It says, let no man despise thy youth, but what? Be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. That's living for God. And I'll tell you what it means. Let me read this in the New International Version. It says, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and purity. That's living for God. That means you're an example of Him. The New Living Translation, it says, don't let anyone think less of you because you are young. Be an example to all believers in what you teach, in the way you live. That's in the King James, it says conversation. It says, you know, be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation. That just means here in the way you live. In your love, this is a new living, in your love, your faith, and your purity. That's living for God. And so what can we say? Living for God is profitable. Living for God is profitable. See, this is when we talk about divine economics. This is part of it, that you live for God, it's profitable for you. So you don't have to run around and try to figure out how to make money. You live for God, God will give you ideas on how to make money if you live for Him. And what does it say? It says, in your example, in word, in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. Does that make sense to everybody? So, godliness is not a hindrance to success. Godliness is profitable for success, not a hindrance. Some people think, you know, if I live godly, how am I going to be able to, you know, get ahead? Godliness is profitable in all things. Let me read this in the New International Version here. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 7, it says, "Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly." So we have to train ourselves to be godly and to live for God. You have to make a choice that I'm going to live for God. "For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. Be diligent in these matters," this is verse 15, "give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress." See, God wants everyone to see our progress. What does he want? He wants people to see that serving him is good, that it's profitable to serve God. Hallelujah. And anybody who has, I shared that Sunday, that when we live, I mean, yes, we all start serving God and we grow in degrees. But I'll tell you, when I started, I went in, as they say, feet first, hip first, head first, I was in. Because I had worked enough to know I needed help. That if you were going to make it, and God put it in my heart to just not be reserved about serving, do it all with all your heart. Do it with all your heart, all your energy. Do it. Amen. Whatever it is. And do it cheerfully, not grudgingly or out of necessity. And you know, we all go through stages of, I call it letting go, and just serving God. And letting go. And yes, each person is called differently. I understand that. Some of us have a different calling. But I'll tell you, even the ones that have God has called to put in a different kind of position, he still wants to see, how are you going to step off and serve him with all of your heart? Because whether or not you're serving in the pew, or in the pulpit, as I call it, there are things that come in your life, even serving in a leadership position. He's going to see and ask, there are going to be some things that come in your life and tests to see how much are you placing that above me. Because just like Abraham, Abraham said, okay, I'm jump off here, I'm going to leave my country and go follow you. He said, good, I want Isaac. So there's, in everyone's life, there's going to be an Isaac that God wants. And we're going to have to show and prove, because I believe that the next step of, you know, how God promotes and uses you is going to be based on what the decision that you make. Doesn't mean that God doesn't love us. Yes, he does. But I believe that God is looking for us to be faithful. And so that's why I say here, godliness is profitable in all things. Living for him is profitable. Doesn't mean it doesn't come with tests and decisions and struggles. But it's profitable. It's profitable. And I'll tell you, I can look back now and say, I'd do it every day. You know, I mean, there may be some things I might do differently and some choices that I made. But I'll tell you, the ones where I just stepped off and I said, you know what? I don't care if I end up with nothing. I'm going to serve him with every bit of my energy, my soul, my energy. I'm doing it. And when you do that, God's there to You know, he may walk and, you know, see how long you go. You say, put up and shut up. Just see how long you undo it. You say, I'm going, okay, let's just see how they do. Right? Amen. So, let's just a couple of thoughts here. Let's turn over to Acts 27 for a moment. Just a couple of thoughts here. Godliness ensures protection. So godliness is profitable in all things. All things includes protection. Godliness ensures protection. Godliness can ensure promotion. Godliness can ensure long life. Godliness can ensure prosperity. So godliness is profitable in all things. See, if I live godly, he's going to protect me. Now, that doesn't mean I act foolish. You know, sometimes I look at it this way, you know, when I say I look at it this way. Well, let's turn over before I lose a thought here. Acts 27. And look at verses 23 through 25. This is Paul. And, you know, of course, you can read back up on the story where they set sail and they're out in the middle of the Mediterranean, and I guess it didn't go too well, did it? They hadn't seen daylight for days. But look at verse 23. It said, "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve." Whom I serve. "Saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all, hath given thee all them that sail with thee." Verse 25, "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me." See, he's serving God. Godliness ensures protection. Now let's look over, and of course, let me look over there. Godliness ensures long life. Of course, you know Psalm 91. But look at Proverbs chapter 10. We may go over to Psalm 91. But look at Proverbs 10. And we're just highlighting this. You know, you could spend just highlighting some scriptures here this evening. Proverbs 10, and look at verse 27. Talking about godliness is profitable in all things. Proverbs 10 and verse 27, in the King James it says, "The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened." The Good News Translation says, "Obey the Lord and you will live longer." See, that's serving God. Obey the Lord and you will live longer. "The wicked die before their time." The Amplified says, "The reverent and worshipful fear of the Lord prolongs one's days, but the years of the wicked shall be made short." And this is the Living Bible. It says, "Reverence for God adds hours to each day. So how can the wicked expect a long, good life?" See, we can. Why? Because we're reverencing God. We're seeking Him first. We're putting Him first. And so we can expect a long life. Amen. So as I was sharing, godliness will ensure protection. Godliness will ensure promotion. And of course, godliness will ensure prosperity. We know from 3 John 2, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Go over to 2 Chronicles chapter 26. 2 Chronicles chapter 26. And look at verse 5. 2 Chronicles 26 and verse 5. Let me start from verse 1. Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father Amaziah. He built Eloth and restored it to Judah. After that, the king slept with his fathers. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. Now look at verse 5. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. As long as he did what? He sought the Lord. God made him to prosper. So godliness ensures prosperity. See, we didn't lose, it's all of a sudden we're in a New Testament and then some of these things that we read just kind of went away. No, they didn't. They still apply. As long as we seek him first, he said, and all these things shall be added unto you. We have to seek him first. Amen. Joshua 1:8 said the same thing. I was reading that the other day. In this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Hallelujah. Psalm 1:2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Hallelujah. Let me give you a couple of reasons sometimes why we don't prosper. We may be saying, okay, I'm doing everything. Of course, I know this doesn't apply to anybody here, but since this is a teaching tape or a teaching lesson, I highlight it so that we understand. But some reasons why we don't prosper is laziness. What does that mean? You don't work and you mooch off people. You see? And you use, the Lord led me to see you. Really? Well, the Lord led me to ask you, are you working? Because if you don't work, you don't eat. I've had to escort some people off of this property. I'm real easy and mild-mannered, but I told one person, if I see your hips on this property again, I'm calling the police. I said, because you're mooching off people. And you don't have to be ornery, but you can make it plain and tell them, I know what you're up to. You can come here and worship, but you're not mooching. Isn't that right? Another reason why sometimes we don't prosper is because we're not managing our money properly. And you know that, being in excess with things, or being extravagant. We're not using God's money properly. We're not asking him how we should spend it and use it. And another is just poor management. Sometimes I'll say it this way because I always, let's go back to 1 Timothy for a minute. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And I make this statement in the area of excess, spending money excessively, not asking God how to spend it. Because sometimes I may look at something, look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, and back up here, and look at verse 4 and 5. It says, "For every preacher of God is good and nothing to be refused if it is to be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer." Now, that's true. It is. But then some people, to consume it upon their own lust, will sit there with a plate of whatever and say, "Well, God bless my food." And I said, "You're a fool." I'm not trying to be funny, but some of us use that scripture to eat and fulfill their own desires and can't get through the door. I'm not trying to be funny, but we try to take scripture and we take it out of context. We don't ask God how we're to eat. We don't ask him what I should be eating, but yet I'm going to go and bless my food. And then after I eat that, I'm going to wash it down with two big bowls of ice cream. You're a fool. And I never agreed with it. I believe in praying over my food, but I also believe in asking God what I should eat and what I shouldn't eat. And when he tells me not to eat it, just because I say, "Well, I have a taste for something," who's in charge? Your body? Or your spirit? Because if you keep having a taste for something, you're not disciplined. I'm just telling you the truth. If you can't control your appetite to eat certain foods, you're not disciplined. And I'm making this point because some of us don't prosper in our health. See, we're saying, "Well, I believe God," yes, but then we're not disciplined in our eating, where we don't prosper in our bodies. And it's no different when we don't prosper financially because we don't ask God how to spend our money, and we say, I'm just going to go spend my money. And you spend it in excess, and you don't prosper. It's no different. You're not disciplined with your money, and you don't prosper. And when you're not disciplined with your eating habits, you don't prosper physically. Is that not true? I don't know if I'm speaking. It's the truth. Whether you like it or not, it's the truth. I mean, it doesn't say we can't eat, but it does say, does it not say we're to eat and do all things in what? Moderation. Does it not? Amen. So it doesn't get into what we're to eat, what not to eat, but it does say, eat in moderation. And I would say there's enough material out just in the natural that talks about things that we shouldn't eat and so forth. And I would say this, that not try to get over into something natural, but food today is not what it used to be 20 and 30 years ago. It's so adulterated that what you're eating is really not good for you. And you better ask God what you're eating and what I should eat. And look up and do some research. Now, that doesn't mean that God won't work in the middle of that, but I'm going to tell you right now, it's the same thing. God can lead you to sales and what to wear and what to buy a whole lot better than we can. And he can show you where to save money and to buy and so forth and use your money wisely. And so I say sometimes those are just some things. We don't prosper because we're not working, we're mooching, or you're extravagant or in excess with your money, or you don't manage it properly. Amen? Glory to God. Well, I hope that helps a little bit, but godliness is profitable not just in some things, in all things, and it's not only for just the here and now in this life, but in the life to come. Amen. Glory to God. Father, we thank you for this word. Thank you that we can feed upon it and meditate upon it. And thank you, Father, that we purpose in our hearts to be good stewards of our bodies and our money and finances, and not only just be hearers of this word, but to be doers of it thereby. Otherwise, if we're not, we deceive our own selves. Father, we thank you for this day in Jesus' name. Amen.